subject of AIDS. We brought the first message 2 weeks ago on what is AIDS. Last week we preached on the horror of AIDS. And today, the Lord willing, we'll bring the message on how can a person get AIDS. The Bible has a lot to say about this type of thing. And I'll tell you what, this morning, it's very serious. It's very scary. And I want you to give me your undivided attention for a few minutes. Next week, I'll bring the last message, and it'll be titled, The Lord Willing, Why Is There a Mass Media Cover-Up Regarding AIDS? Why are not newspapers and television telling us the truth about AIDS? I've told you a whole bunch of stuff that they haven't told you on the news in the last 2 weeks. A whole bunch of stuff. Now, you know, if I'm a hillbilly from there here in North Carolina, I can find it out, that CBS and NBC and ABC and all them can find it out. Now, please help me now. I want it real quiet. I want everybody to be able to listen and hear. It's very important that you hear. Next week, the message will be, why is there a media cover-up regarding AIDS? AIDS is being treated different from any other disease ever has been. And I'll be telling you that, the Lord willing, next week. Buddy, there's something rotten in the United States, I can tell you that. How can you get AIDS? I'll ask you to turn to some scripture in a few minutes, but right now just listen for the introduction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you so much for our health and strength and amazing grace. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would move out of our hearts and minds and lives and thoughts anything that would be wicked or sinful or not becoming to a child of God. We ask you, our Father, this morning that you would illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, that we might be able to preach that you've given us to preach. Lord, this has been burning in my heart for many months now. And Lord, the time has finally come for me to tell what you've given me to say. And I pray, Lord, that the power of God would come, touch this message, save souls here this morning, touch hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of controversy today over how you can or cannot get AIDS. There's two reasons for this controversy. One is that there's a certain stigma attached to AIDS that you don't get with any other disease. My heart goes out to those that have been infected with AIDS, the AIDS virus. My heart is broken this morning for families who have had to suffer because of it. And my intention in preaching these messages is not in any way intended to make their hurt worse or add to their sorrow or grief worse than it already is. There is a certain stigma attached to AIDS that is not attached to any other disease. The second reason why there's so much controversy over this disease is that it's a young disease. They've only known about it just a few years, less than 10 years, and therefore there hasn't been enough time to prove one way or another a lot of the arguments, which way's right and which way's wrong. With new information coming off the press almost weekly, it's hard to say what may or may not develop in the future. Now, I want to speak to you this morning from the knowledge that God's given us from the Word of God and from what we picked up from news reports and books and studies, and a lot of time and effort has gone into these things. This much seems sure, and as I bring this message this morning, it's going to get more serious as we go along. If a person who has AIDS is here and I'm here, that person's bodily fluid must enter my body and get into my bloodstream. That much, as far as medical doctors or science or anyone's concerned, is seemingly sure. The bodily fluids of one person must enter into and carry the virus into another person. Now, first of all, I'm going to give you the obvious causes of AIDS. And the reason I'm preaching on this, you might say, well, what are you doing talking about AIDS? You're not a doctor. No, I'm not a doctor. I'm a preacher. But this disease has moral overtones to it, and that puts it in my field, whether I like it or not. and I must declare what the Bible says about it. The main number one cause of the AIDS epidemic in America is the misuse of sex. We're talking about sex, first of all, this morning, and that is why, seemingly, it cropped up in the homosexual community. Because in the homosexual community, there's a lot of promiscuity. There's a lot of swapping around. The average AIDS patient that they tested to very begin with, when they would bring a man in and he'd say, I'm from San Francisco, I'm from New York, and he would say, I'm gay. We don't call him gay because gay means happy. We call them what the Bible said. It's sodomy in the Word of God and it's unnatural acts. That's what it is. And so, this morning, if a man would come in, he'd say, I'm homosexual. And they'd say, we'd try to trace down every person that that man had been with sexually and found out that the average AIDS patient at that time had had over 1,100 partners that they'd been with. Now, that is why that it seemed to spread so fast in San Francisco. In San Francisco this morning, 75% of the homosexuals have tested positive to the AIDS virus. And it's the same way in New York, same way in Miami, and then it's moving closer to home, as I'll mention in just a few minutes. It's transferred by sex. In their acts of sin, there's exchange of bodily fluid almost constantly. That's why they receive the disease and die. It's not only transferred from man to man, it's transferred in woman to woman, in lesbian acts of sin. It's transferred from man to woman. A man can give a woman AIDS. A boy can give his girlfriend AIDS. I read about a man not long ago who picked up AIDS somewhere. He passed it to his wife. She passed it on to her son who was in her womb. And neither of them knew that they had the disease. Now, God said a lot to us in this thing. And I want to stop right here and say this. A nation cannot abuse God's law against premarital and extramarital sex and get by with it. Now, we just can't do it, folks. We as a nation are going to pay through the nose for breaking God's law of thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't care how many TV programs have them just hopping them into bed and taking their clothes off and in the movies. I know a movie nowadays can't get anybody to see it unless they rate it R. And they have to put a dirty scene or two in it just to get the crowd to come and show them the film. And I don't care how much the approval is put on that stuff. The Bible said that it's a sin and the book said be sure your sin will find you out. I can't sin against God and get by with it, and you can't, and neither can anyone else. I know you hear a lot of talk today about safe sex. That's all they talk about. In the gay bathhouses, in our school, they're telling kids, practice safe sex. Let me ask you something. How can you be safe against a microscopic virus that is so little that you can't even see it? You don't know where it's at, or where it's been, or where it's going. And not only that, AIDS not only transferred from man to woman. A lot of people don't know this. AIDS is passed from woman to man. A woman, by way of her secretions and bodily fluid, can and do give AIDS to men. As a matter of fact, prostitutes are a free-flowing channel of AIDS in most parts of the country. In Central Africa, where AIDS is killing millions and millions of people, 40 or 70% of the prostitutes have the AIDS virus in their blood right now. If you saw 10 prostitutes lined up on the street, 7 of them's got AIDS virus, and the men are going to them. And the sad thing about it is, in a lot of these countries, they don't even know that's what's killing them. They don't even realize what God had to say. 40% of the prostitutes in Miami had the AIDS virus in them. I read about a man who was a businessman. And we'd go off on his business trip, he'd pick him up a whore. And he'd spend the night with a whore. I call him whore because that's what the Bible calls him. Don't you sit there and get the bug eye on me, brother. You need to read your book and find out what God said. He'd spend the night with a man or a woman, and boy, he'd pick it up. He'd pass it on to somebody else.
and before he died had had 12 partners, all of them prostitutes, and had passed it around, and their contacts and their contacts and their contacts, and infected hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Let me remind you, boys and girls, let me remind you, young people and teenagers, all it takes is one time. All it takes. I'm sure you've heard the story of this young boy who was wanting to join a club not long ago. He was on the radio. And to get in this club, you had to prove yourself to be a man. So these boys got him in there, and they said, "You want to be in our club, man?" He said, "Yeah." And they said, "Are you still a virgin?" And he said, "Well, sure I am." And they said, "You can't be in this club." They said, "We're going to fix you up with a girl, and you're going to spend the night with her." And he said, "No, boys, I don't want to do that. I'm not even interested in that stuff. I don't." And they said, "Yes, you are. You're going to spend the night with this girl, and you're going to do it if you're going to join." So they pressured him and talked him into it, and they finally did it. Got him in a motel room, got him the girl, got it all arranged. He went ahead, lost his virtue, just to please them old boys, just to prove that he was a man, just to prove that he was just as tough and mean and big as they were. The next morning, when he woke up, he looked around and the girl was gone. He said, "Well, that's strange. She left in a hurry." He got up and began to walk through the motel room, and right on the big mirror in the motel room, it had written in great big letters in lipstick, "Welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS." And that young man, because of one act of sin, will soon be dead. It's passed from woman to man. You say, "Preacher, what does the Bible say about that?" Leviticus 19:29 said, "Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness." The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication." He's telling boys and girls, abstain. You know what they're telling you in schools nowadays? They're saying abstinence is a choice. Listen, in God's Word, abstinence is your only choice until you're married, and then marry a virgin. Make sure you do that. I'm telling you tonight, this morning, friends, it is very... Let me give you a typical case. This actually happened. It's documented. It's on record. There was a young sailor, a handsome young man, from Iowa. He was a sailor. His ship was docked in New York City. While he was in New York City, he went to a party. He met a flashing, wild, loose, uninhibited young lady, which means she is a little flirty slut. And she said he got to meet, hit it off with her. And she was a New York exchange student. Now, the reason I talk plain like that is so people can understand me. There might be some of you that ain't used to hearing your preacher talk like that, but that's your fault, not mine. If you ain't got enough sense, go to the right kind of church. Don't get mad at me. I'm telling you, this morning, he met her, and she was an art student. They met at a party, and the first thing you know, they spent the next week together. And buddy, they lived it up. A few months later, he was discharged from the army and was sent back home to Iowa. He thought, boy, he thought the affair was over, and he thought, "She gave me a good time." But she gave him more than a good time. She gave him a virus. That virus was AIDS. She didn't know she had it. She had picked it up from a former lover who was bisexual. ACDC. And that's what ACDC means. It means you can go to bed with a boy or girl, anyone, don't make... you want to be. And he said that's what her boyfriend was. She picked it up from him and had given it to this young man. She didn't know it, and the sailor would not know it until 5 years later. All right, what happened to him? Back home in Iowa, he came back home and had an affair. That's a nice way of saying he shacked up. He had an affair with his high school sweetheart. And Burr, he passed it on to her. His high school sweetheart later married a tractor salesman. And in all this time, AIDS was hiding in every one of them. And the AIDS virus didn't show up until the high school sweetheart and the tractor salesman had twins. And both the twin babies had AIDS. And then it wasn't long till they came down with it. By this time, the sailor had had three more affairs. These three girls had gotten married, passed it on to their husbands, passed it on to their children. Finally, the sailor got married. He gave it to his wife, and his children have AIDS. And in 3 years' time, before he ever even knew he had it, he had given it and spread it to 15 people. Now, that's what's causing our country to fall apart at the seams. Now, let me say this. They say now that the incubation period, that means how long it takes for the disease to show up in you, they was saying it was 5 years. Now, they started saying it was 10 years, and some reports now are saying 20 years. Hold your seat belts. You listen to me? A few months ago, they were saying, if you've had a blood transfusion or you have had sexual relations with anybody outside your home, you need to go have a test. They moved that to 10 years and now are saying 20 years. You listening to me? I'll just say it, a rough estimate. If anybody in this church has been to bed with one person other than your wife or husband in the last 10 years, it's possible that you could have AIDS in your bloodstream and not know it. Oh, preacher, that scares me! You should have thought of that before you sinned. Don't get mad at me. I didn't make this stuff up. I'm just being a friend and warning you. The second way you get AIDS is by IV or intravenous drug use. Can you turn that microphone on? That means for a person, I don't spend much time on this, you've heard about it on the news, they will tell you the truth about this, even if they do hide the sex part. We'll take a needle, and this happens in big cities especially, when they're shooting up, and they mix up some dope, and they shoot up some heroin, and when you pull that needle out of your vein, it's got some of your blood on it. That blood has AIDS virus in it. Then you hand it to your buddy, he fills it full of dope, he sticks it in his arm, you're taking that germ that come out of his blood and sticking it right in your bloodstream. Hundreds and hundreds of people get it because of the infected blood, and then it's inside your body. The third way a person can get AIDS is by blood transfusion. Here we find some of the saddest cases of AIDS. Somebody with AIDS donates blood. And the bad part about it is they say in those big cities up north that they have homosexual, gay, whatever they call them, bath houses, and then right down the street have a place where you can donate blood. That's insanity, brother. That's stupidity. And brother, that blood gets you some money, and I'll talk about that next week, about the blood supply and why there's a cover-up going on in it. There's money in that stuff. And boy, they're taking up blood, and they'll donate blood. That blood goes and stores up, and that's why hemophiliacs get AIDS so much, is because they have to have those constant injections of blood, and that the blood from that person goes in your blood, and even though our blood supply has been checked, it is not, I say it is not this morning, totally 100% clean and safe. Now that means that puts you on some dangerous ground there. Find out what we're not being told about it, the Lord willing, next week. The first case of this was in 1982, where a 20-month-old baby had to die because of a blood transfusion. A grandmother from San Francisco got it from a blood bank in 1985. She was 80, or somewhere along in that, the baby got it in 1985. The grandma got it in 1984. She was 80 years old. The next year, she died in 85. A Catholic nun got it from the same way. A preacher that we know that has been on record has got it the same way. It's no respecter of person. You don't have to go to bed with somebody. You don't have to be homosexual. All you've got to do is be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong man on your side. Let's take a break just a second before I give you the other causes. Most people think a cure for AIDS is on the way. And I'll tell you the most dangerous thing about it this morning. The most dangerous thing about it is American people ain't taking it serious. We've grown up in the day of optimism that says, they'll figure out something. And if the truth was known, the average person sitting here today is not alarmed like you should be, because in the back of your mind, you think, surely, Doc, they're going to figure out something. They'll come up with something that gets it before it gets all of us. Well, let me tell you what some doctors have said. There's four major obstacles stopping them from finding a cure for AIDS. Number one, AIDS is a virus. What does that mean? It means there ain't but about three, and AIDS is one of them. And a virus, they don't find a cure for it, like the common cold, like the flu. Look how long people have been having cold and they ain't never found a cure. It's a virus. Number two, not only is AIDS a virus, AIDS is a retrovirus. Well, there's only three of these, I'm sorry. Do you know what a retrovirus is? A retrovirus is so dangerous that it actually becomes a permanent part of your immune system cells. Like you have a cold or the flu, you get over it. If you get a retrovirus, it's in your body till you die. Number three, the AIDS virus changes. It mutates. It eludes scientists like it's got a mind of its own. In other words, they're working on it. If they found a cure for AIDS today, it probably wouldn't work tomorrow. Because once they start fighting it this way, it just moves over here and mutates and takes another form and gets away from them again, like it's got a mind of its own. Matter of fact, they said, if they ever did find its cure one person, then it would be a different strain of the virus in another person. I don't know if y'all listen to me or not, folks. That's scary. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Number four, the AIDS virus multiplies 1,000 times faster than anything science has ever seen. A cure for AIDS would require three biological milestones. Number one, they'd have to halt the growth of the virus. Number two, they'd have to eliminate the virus from the body. Number three, they'd have to reconstruct your damaged immune system. Because see, when it gets in, it knocks out your immune system. If you could get AIDS out of a person, they'd still die, because their immune system can't fight off pneumonia and cancer and other diseases. Oh, y'all listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying this thing is more serious than anything the world has ever seen. You say, well, they're not making no big deal out of it on television. Next week, I'm going to tell you why. All right, here we go. Here's where the fur hits the fan. Here's the most controversial part. We all know you get AIDS from sex. We all know you get AIDS from sticking needles in your arm. We all know you get AIDS from blood transfusion. Now, right there, those three things is all they're telling the American public. And one of the most frequently quoted, they brought me some stuff they give out here up at Baxter the other day. They brought me stuff, seen it in the paper. I seen the film they're going to show to McDowell High School. I saw the film they're going to show to East Junior High. And you know what? Every one of them things has got a blatant, flat-out lie in it. And the lie is this. What about casual contact? Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk plain to you. That all depends on what you mean by casual. Shaking hands is casual. You don't get AIDS from shaking hands. Unless there's a problem that we'll talk about in a few minutes. You see, your skin is a protection. You don't... There could be the AIDS virus right there, and I could mash it with my hand and rub it. But that don't give me AIDS because my skin protects. It's got to get inside the skin. Now, what about casual contact? Age has been found in saliva that's spent. You people don't understand it. Age has been found in tears. Age has been found in every other fluid that comes from your body. Let's talk about saliva. You know, they're all worried about Linda Evans because she kissed Rock Hudson on Dynasty. You remember that? Some of y'all ain't got a smile on your face. I'm worried about you. Good name for a show. Die Nasty. You live nasty, you die nasty. Amen, Brother Danny Preacher. You remember they was worried about her? Well, so far, nothing ain't happened to her, I don't reckon. But then that triggered off a bunch of stuff around about kissing and what they call, quote, deep kissing, which we always call swapping slobber. Now, that's what we always called it when I was growing up, and I won't talk plain so you country folk can understand me. Now, here we go. The AIDS virus has been proven. It's taken from spit, and it can survive 7 days and maybe 10 days outside the body where somebody spits on the ground. That is a proven medical fact. You say, well, why don't they tell us that on TV? Next week, you'll find out. You say, why don't they tell that to a kid? I'll tell you all about it next week. There's a cover-up. There's a cover-up going on. What was the first thing the devil said to Eve? You're not going to die, Eve. This thing ain't deadly. Take a bite. The devil produced the first cover-up in Genesis 3, telling them it was all right. Here we go. Although as there's not as much quantity as in blood, it is in saliva and it is infectious. This can be proven. They're putting it out in Paris. They're putting it out in France. They're putting it out in London. They just ain't putting it out from Atlanta. You know what the CDC is? That's the Center of Disease Control in Atlanta. And that's where all our doctors get their information. And whatever the CDC says is right. And whatever the CDC don't say. I was in a meeting just the other day, and a doctor made a statement, you know, about the CDC, and said that the CDC has only reported 38,000 cases of AIDS, and there's not one been case. Well, who said the CDC is the only authority in the world? There's some things the CDC being awful quiet about. That makes French kissing a certain risk if there is a chance of the virus in that saliva and you've got a cut in your mouth or a blister or you've just flossed your teeth and got down into the gums and it's bleeding. All it takes is for a microscopic virus to get in your blood and in your bloodstream. That's all it takes. If you have a cut, a sore, bleeding gums, and so on. Hey, in the homosexual bathhouses in New York and Miami, I've seen pictures of them. They're putting up big signs saying, don't brush your teeth before you go in. And don't floss them. And don't share toothbrushes. And don't share razors. And that's why that dentists and doctors are wearing gloves nowadays. Have you been to the doctor lately, or dentist? Brother, we had Carissa to the dentist the other day. The nurse had on gloves. The doctor come in. He put on a pair of rubber gloves. He had touched this other kid. Before he touched my kid, he took those gloves off, got rid of them, put on a brand new pair of gloves. And they say right now that there's a shortage of rubber gloves in the United States. A lady that works in a hospital in Morgan told me they can't get them. There's a shortage of them. That's a good business to go into nowadays, guys. Make some rubber gloves. Make you a fortune. They can't get them. Now, why are they telling kids at school you don't have to worry about casual contact? They ain't getting a blood test. They ain't getting drugs shot in their vein. They ain't going to bed with them patients. You reckon them doctors and nurses and dentists know something the rest of us ain't being told? All right. You want me to give you some documented evidence? This is from AIDS Etiology, Diagnosis, Treatment, and Prevention. A magazine that documents a case of a woman
who contracted AIDS, and her only contact was kissing her husband, who was an AIDS victim, who was an impotent man, and her only time she touched him was to kiss him or just hand him something. There are 1,200 Americans with AIDS this morning that didn't go to bed with somebody and didn't shoot dope up in their arms and didn't get a blood transfusion. Now, why is all this baloney being put out about you can't get it except them three ways? Before a man could say you can't get it but them three ways, he'd have to prove how them 1,200 people got it. Dr. Schlaff says, quote, "Because the AIDS virus has been cultured from saliva of infected individuals, the FDA recommends infected individuals to refrain from French kissing." You say, "Brother Danny, what's the big deal?" The big deal is this. Give you just a little hypothetical case here. This is true. Young lady told me last year. She said, "This is sixth grade." She said, "All the boys in my class like so-and-so." And I said, "Her?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because she French kisses every boy in the class." Last year. Sixth grade, brother. Sixth grade. Can you imagine, man? Can you imagine a girl standing up and let every boy in the class, just hold her mouth open like this, and let every boy in the class come by and spit in it? That's what she done. I wouldn't doubt that some of you nasty girls done stuff like that. Did you know kissing somebody that smokes is like licking an ashtray? Don't you get mad at me. It ain't my fault. I can't understand why you get mad at me. I ain't done it. Hey, man, if you get mad at the preacher, for some, that's like a woman getting mad and smashing her mirror because it shows her the wrinkles in her face. Don't blame the mirror, man. All right. Just suppose she kissed a boy that... Now, let's just suppose. This is very remote and it's very unlikely. Let's just suppose she had AIDS. You say, "Well, she's healthy. She runs around, has a big time." That don't mean nothing. It can be in your body 10 years. You can be passing around before you ever get sick. This ain't no joke, brother. This ain't no game we're fooling with. This is something that liable to get me and you before it's over with. I'll tell you one thing. We couldn't point our finger at God and accuse Him of doing wrong if it killed every one of us. Sorry and low downs we've been. I'm talking about Christian people. We'll lay out of church, won't read our Bible, won't pray, won't be faithful, wouldn't witness if our life depended on it. But what do we expect from God? A pat on the back? We've worlded our lives up, sit around and watch dirty movies, let our kids do anything in the world. What do we expect God to do? Keep on blessing us forever? What about this? What about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Did you know that paramedics and none other are using masks, and they're telling you if you even got a swimming pool, you better buy one of them things. Just in case. You have to put your mouth on somebody else's mouth. Buddy, if I single right now, son, you talk about being careful. Buddy, before I dated a girl, I said, have you ever held hands with anybody? But I want to know, man. No chances, brother. You talk about being careful. You say, "Oh, I think you're being a little bit overreactionary." Well, just remember here, kiddo, it takes 10 years to show up. We ain't going to see what's happening right now till about 1995. Oh, brother, it's going to be Katie bar the door then, son. They're saying that in 1991, 3 years from now, AIDS will be the leading killer in America. That's more than car wrecks. That's more than heart attack. That's what they're predicting. Let me move on hurriedly. What about tears? Well, let's talk just a little bit more about saliva. Show you this. We have a personal testimony from a young man that was in high school that worked at one of our local hamburger joints. Got that? I ain't going to say which one because these tapes are going to go everywhere and you can get in big, big trouble like that. He said
that when McDowell played another school and the school beat McDowell, that the kids that work in this certain restaurant, when the bus come in to get them a hamburger, when they was making their hamburgers, spit on them. That's the truth. That goes on.
Now, what if you walk in there and they don't like your looks? What if you got mad at them and you stole their girlfriend? You say, well, I don't think there's any homosexual work. Hey, man, I know of two right now. They ain't got fired.
I know of one because he propositioned me.
That ain't never happened to me in my life. I about died. You could have knocked me over with a dish rag, man. I said, what? I said, you're crazy. I said, you better ask God to get... That's exactly what I told him. I said, you better ask God to get that junk out of your head, boy. I said, no, get away from me. And those cases of AIDS right here in McDowell County, that would shock the daylights out of you folks if you knew about it. And there's about 75 in Asheville and all over Morganton, confirmed, full blown.
Now let's just say this. What's that going to do? If AIDS is in a tear, and a man takes a tear, and he's cutting onions in the restaurant where you go to eat, and then his tears comes out, and then it's on the food. And then if a man takes his tear or his spit, and that virus can live for 7 days in that spit, that's the same thing as him taking that and putting his finger and sticking it in your mouth. Now, it's not been proven how long it can live on a piece of bread. What about salad bars? You say, good night. Hey, I know a man that heard all this stuff and he quit eating out. I ain't quitting eating out. I figure this, man, something that little, I can't see it no way. It's liable to be in my house, the same as liable to be at steakhouse. I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do and trust the Lord. Brother, you know, that's the way it's going to go. What about a salad bar? What about an all-you-can-eat buffet? Now, I know that if doctors, and they could hear me talk like I'm talking this morning, they'd take a raving fit. You know why they'd do that? I'll tell you next Sunday. I'm going to tell you a lot next Sunday. All right, I ain't through. You know what else gets on? Contact lenses. You go in to be fitted for your contacts. They use the same thing fit on you they used on the last person. They have run an experiment. They use 6 men. 3 of them had AIDS. Or they use 5 men, 1 woman. 3 of them had AIDS. 3 of them had ARC, AIDS-related complex, which means they just ain't developed the symptoms yet. They wore contacts to fit for their contact lens overnight, 14 hours, something like that, took them out, and on 4 of those 6, AIDS virus was on the contacts. And the only way you can get it off is sterilize them at a certain temperature for so many minutes, and most places that give contact, hey, I'll give you one, getting your ears pierced. Did you know they're warning people now that when you get your ears pierced, make sure they use a brand new... Say they stuck this one person, got some of their blood, and then they turn around and just wiped it off and just supposedly just... That don't kill it, wiping it off. That don't kill it, running water over it. And then stuck it in your ear. What about any kind of membrane in sports? In sports, kids bite each other. Son, I've got many an old boy sweat in my mouth playing basketball. Many. Blood, too. Man, I've come down going like that. Bow! Somebody's elbow right in your mouth. And your teeth sink in about a half inch in their elbow, and their blood in your mouth and sweat. And no telling what else. What am I saying? I'm saying until it's proven otherwise, all these things that I've mentioned are becoming dangerous. I'm not trying to cause a mass hysteria or panic. I just don't think you're going to help people by hiding the truth from them. You say, Brother Danny, people in the United States knew that? That'd blow their brains out. Well, if they can't handle it, it ain't my fault. We may all want to blow our brains out before it's over with. In closing this morning, let me say this. The sex god has eroded our values, broken down our homes, rewritten our textbooks, and turned us to perversion. But the tithes of this idol are high. When you worship sex, he demands his tithes. As one 28-year-old young man said, he said, "I'm not homosexual." He was dying with AIDS, and he said this, quote, "I'm very scared to die. I'd like a little more time. I've lived in the fast lane. If only God would give me a break." God did give his son, friend. God gave you a break 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross. But that young man chose the god of sex. And now the time has come to pay his bill. Sonia Sherman, if you saw her, you'd think she is a beautiful model that had been to the Bahamas. But really, the reason she's so dark-skinned is because it's a reaction of her skin to the medicine that she's taken. She was a young lady who fell in love and set a date to be married and planned out her wedding. Growing up in a society that said there's no use waiting on marriage, she didn't. She didn't wait until she got married. Well, she found out that her boyfriend had been with a bunch of other people. It didn't work out, and she broke off the engagement and decided to start life all over again. 3 years later, she started having night sweats. High fever. She went to the doctor. They diagnosed her, said, "You've got AIDS." She lost her job. She developed pneumonia. She lost her hearing. Her skin's got dark. And now what she's doing is arranging for her funeral. She's already arranged to be cremated and picked out a box for her ashes to be in, or a thing that they put them in. She's leaving her cat to her brother. And she's dying. And when they talk to her, she says this. She said, "When I think about my days with my fiancé," she said, "at that time it's so strange. I had never even heard of AIDS. And now Sonia has to die." My friend, you say, "Well, Brother Danny, I ain't a bit worried about AIDS." Let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something worse than AIDS. Dying not ready to meet Jesus. And I'm going to say this, the Lord laid it on my heart to say this, and I'm saying this statement and I'm closing. Every one of us in here this morning who does not have AIDS has got something that's going to kill us. See, you're going to die. You've got a terminal disease. It's called humanity. And if AIDS don't get you, a heart attack will. And if a heart attack don't get you, a car wreck will. Every one of you is going to die. I've heard people say, "Oh, it'd be awful to go to the doctor and them tell you you're going to die." You mean tell me you think you ain't? Who you trying to kid, man? Every one of us is going to die if the Lord don't come. We're going to die. You say, "I'll go in a sterilized room and all that." Yeah, I know. And something will get you. You're falling apart. Your teeth fall out. Your hair turns gray. You get wrinkled. You get slumped over. You're going. There's no getting out of it. There's only one hope. And that's get right with Jesus. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You say, "Brother Danny, I could not go to the altar after you preached on something like that. People think I'd done all kinds of bad things." Oh, no, they wouldn't. Don't you worry about what people think. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, and you realize the only hope for you is to get right with Jesus, you ought to get out of your seat this morning, make your way down here to this altar, and call on the Lord before it's too late. If you're here this morning, listen, if I was here this morning and I didn't know for a fact that I was saved and going to heaven, buddy, you talk about being scared, I'd be scared. The Lord will help you this morning if you'll come. That's right, come on. Amen. Thank God for these that are coming.
There may be others. There may be others.
Going home and hit home in somebody's heart. And dear Lord, I pray that the power of God will help us this morning. And Lord, touch hearts and minds and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. While we sing the first verse, you need to come and join these on the altar. Let me invite you to get out of your seat and come right now. Come on.
Just
come on right now. Come on. Let God speak to your heart this morning.
Without
amen. Let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you.
Thy blood was shed for me.
Amen.
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Amen. Will you come? Will you come?
I come.
Sing another verse, Brother John. While we sing, won't you come? While we sing, won't you come? This will be it. This will help you if you'll come. The Lord loves you this morning. Come on. Come on this morning. Don't say no. Don't say no. This may be the most important day of your life. The Lord wants to help you today. Amen. Amen. I feel like this morning there's several people in here that God's speaking to. We're going to give you one more chance. We're going to sing one more verse, and this will be all. We're going home after this verse. If the Lord's dealing with you, please, please don't wait. There's no use in waiting. It's not going to do you any good to wait. The longer you wait, the harder it's going to get. Why don't you come? Why don't you let the Lord help you today? I remember that the night I got saved, I was sitting right back there on this side. Boy, my heart just going bam, bam, 90 miles an hour. And I knew there's a God. And I knew I had to have some kind of help. But I was afraid, and I didn't want people to look at me. And I was ashamed, and I was proud, and all of this stuff. But just forget about all that stuff this morning. The Lord wants to help you. You can walk out that door knowing that you're going to heaven when you die. Listen, this old world's eat up with it, friends. It's had it. It's like the Titanic. Our country has been struck and it's now sinking. And we're just on those last few hours while it's going down. We're going to sing one more verse. If God has spoke for your heart, you need to come. Just get out of your seat and come right now, will you? Please.
Just
come on right now. Come on, do what these people have done. Let the Lord help you this morning. Come on right now. Come on, this is your chance. This is your opportunity. Amen. Amen. Come on.
Release.
Come on, right now, come on.
Because
come on, just get out of your seat.
Thou promised I believe, O Lamb of God,
amen.
I come.
Amen. All right, let me mention two things. All these messages are being taped. There'll be four of them. If you'd like cassette copies of these messages, it's also being put on video. We don't have exactly all of it, but these will be available too after next week. Just let us know if you'd like them. You might have some people you want to help play them for or something like that. And make sure you turn everything over to the Lord this morning, you that come. Youth choir, I want all the young people to be here. 5:30 this evening. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Have a good afternoon.